And welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line. This is Bob Pittman. Glad to have you with us as we make our weekly venture into the mysterious, very mysterious realm of the law. I used to think it was going to get less mysterious, and then time went by and I kept kind of waiting, you know, and it didn't happen. You know, just like years ago, I thought, you know, there'll come a time when people won't be suing each other. You know, litigation's going to get, it's going to get better in terms of less litigation being better. Didn't happen. Although there is more of a push these days to, mediation and collaborative kind of law, even in areas like divorce, which is kind of encouraging. So there's some encouraging signs, but it's a tough one. The law is very mysterious and causes lots of trouble, unfortunately. But we try to demystify the law, translate the legalese, and hopefully point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems each and every week right here on Legal Line at bobpittman.com. You want to check out the Legal Line channel, listen to us live every Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and then, of course, we become a Bobcast by the next day. Pretty bad, huh? Pretty bad. I don't know what to say. But sometimes a slightly irreverent approach, but nevertheless an approach that hopefully gets you going in the right direction with regard to all those legal problems. Hey, be sure to check out the website from time to time. We've got a blog going and, of course, podcasts of shows that you may have missed. We have a great one up there, Jim Stovall. I was just letting someone know earlier today. They had enjoyed his book, Ultimate Gift, so much. I said, well, you know, you can actually hear Jim. stop by the website and check out the podcast or Bobcast with Jim Stovall, which is kind of fun. So be sure to do it. And, of course, we'll keep you posted, try to keep you posted with regard to upcoming programs next week, which should be, what would that be, the 13th of October. Will be our interview with former Chief Justice Gary Alexander, still a Justice of the Washington State Supreme Court, but beginning his phase-out period, I guess, although I hesitate to say that. I don't know. Doesn't seem like he should be phasing out, but still going strong and a great guy, interesting person in the history of the state of Washington, and of course a historian himself. So you'll want to tune in next week as we interview Justice Gary Alexander of the Washington State Supreme Court. Be sure to tune into that. Hey, I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about something that all of us need to do. All of us need to at least think about having a durable power of attorney. This is something that you know, people think about and they say, oh, yeah, I've got to get around to that one of these days. Or maybe they've got a really old one. Maybe they're actually naming a former spouse on their power of attorney. What the heck is a power of attorney? All right, well, picture me taking my shoes off, okay? Picture this. This is radio, so you got to use your imagination. Take your shoes off. I'm taking my shoes off. I'm setting them over here on the left side of my desk. I've got them sitting there so that somebody could step into my shoes and become me, as if anybody wanted to do that, but to become Bob and take action just like I could. So imagine you're going to allow somebody to step into your shoes one day if you need help, and you might need help because perhaps you've been in a car accident. You're unconscious in the hospital. Maybe you've become incapacitated due to an illness, another accident, or maybe you're now 115 years old and you're just starting to move a little bit slow. You may need help, and someone using your durable power of attorney would be able to help you. They become you. They can sign agreements. They can access your bank account, depending on the type of power of attorney, by the way, but sell your house or refinance your house or get a second mortgage, or maybe they're going to get a reverse mortgage for you so that you can afford to continue living there. They can deal with any kind of written instrument, deal with taxes, although the IRS, it's always difficult with the IRS. The IRS has their own form. They kind of like you to use it, but you are allowed to put a section into your power of attorney to provide, it has to have the right wording and so forth, but you can provide for someone to handle tax matters, which is important too. Maybe open a safe deposit box. Maybe, maybe exercise health care powers and make health care decisions for you. That's a big one. Now, sometimes we'll do two separate powers of attorney, maybe a financial and property kind of power of attorney. And sometimes we'll add in health care right to that particular power of attorney, or sometimes we'll separate out health care. Many times people will tell me, well, you know, my son John would be great for health care decisions, but lousy on financial stuff. I want my daughter Mary to take care of my financial stuff. And so we'll actually do two powers of attorney, one that covers financial and health, financial and property kinds of things, and then another one that deals with health care matters, because it's so important that somebody be able to make health care decisions for you. If you're unconscious, someone may need to sign some forms, consent to surgery, decide which route to take, maybe decide whether to implement your living will or health care directive. We can talk about that in a moment. But all the health care kinds of things, and very importantly, become your advocate. We all need to have an advocate, and especially in the area of health care, we need to have someone who will keep an eye on what's going on, ask questions, ask lots of questions, sometimes be a little bit of a pain, a thorn in the side of the our healthcare friends, who are also trying to do a good job, of course, but somebody who can ask questions when you cannot ask questions because you're unconscious or something has occurred to where you're not able to manage your own affairs and make your own healthcare decisions. And so you've named an advocate, a person, an agent on the power of attorney, and then you have to give them, though, lots of good instructions. So you've got to talk about some of the healthcare issues that may come up. You've got to say, you know, here's what I want, here's what I don't want, here's things that are important to me. You know, whatever it might be, have some good discussions, take some notes. Note-taking is almost always acceptable. So take some notes, think through your healthcare matters, get some help from your healthcare friends to think about different things. You know, talk about medications and talk about where you want to live. Maybe you want to stay home. Maybe you don't want to stay home. Maybe you want to go on vacation. I don't know. I had someone one time tell me, you know, Bob, if I'm really out of commission and it's safe to take me outside, I want to be taken out to my forest and put out in the middle of my forest and left alone for a while so I can just kind of vegetate in a good way and maybe gain some wisdom from sitting out in the middle of a forest. Of course, you have to be careful, obviously, if you've got challenges, problems that make it unreasonable and maybe unsafe. You got to think about all that, of course. But it's very important to think about what you want, and then you have a power of attorney, a document that names somebody to take over if you're in trouble. And we just have to assume that at some point in our life, we could get into trouble. Now, a good power of attorney covering both financial and healthcare matters can mean that somebody will not have to become our guardian if we fall into one of those states, maybe as I say, unconscious state. We're not able to manage our own affairs. Don't even have to be unconscious. Some people would say lots of people are unable to manage their own affairs. That's a different issue. We need a psychologist to come in and help us with that one. But if a person if a person is not able to manage their own affairs, then they might have to go through a guardianship process to have somebody named as a guardian, unless you've done something like a durable general power of attorney, along with the healthcare, durable healthcare power of attorney. If you've done that, then it's very unlikely that anybody would need to become your guardian. So we're gonna make sure that you don't have to go in through that guardianship proceeding, which can be costly and annoying, and maybe the wrong person gets appointed. So you have the opportunity to say up front, you know, I want so-and-so to be my agent, my attorney in fact, under this power of attorney. And then you want to think about a backup. Who's going to be the backup person? Who's going to step in if the person you've named is not able to take on the job? Maybe they have died. Maybe they've become incapacitated. So you always want a backup crew of some sort, and you can go as many levels deep as you need to. And then when you look at your power of attorney, you want to make sure, and some of you have older powers of attorney that may not be up to date in terms of all these new HIPAA provisions that relate to privacy in the healthcare area. We want to make sure that we have identified the people who are allowed to get our protected health information and access our medical records. Very, very important. And if we don't have that covered under HIPAA, then it's possible that someone would have to go to court still and become our guardian, which, again, I think is to be avoided almost at all costs. Now, let's go a level above for a second, and let's say we really want to be certain that our assets are going to be managed properly, and it may be under a trust regime. So this means that we may want to consider creating a trust that will hold our assets. We get to manage them while we're doing okay. But if we become incapacitated or then upon our death, someone we've named as our backup trustee can step in and manage our assets, again, either through a period of incapacity or upon our death. That's an option, and it's an option that more and more people are choosing because they want to maintain a way of making sure their assets are managed just the way they want them managed. And there sometimes is a concern about a power of attorney being rejected by a financial institution, sometimes because it's too old, sometimes because they don't like the language in them, various reasons. The age one can be cured by maybe renewing your powers of attorney from time to time. But the power of attorney can also be considered a somewhat crude document when it comes to long-term management of assets. It'll work, but you may want to look at a trust, a revocable trust, to provide for long-term management during a period of incapacity. And in that process, provide lots of instructions. I was working with a nice fellow one time a number of years ago, and he said, you know, he says, I want to stay home at all costs. And he had enough assets to where he wasn't going to have to worry. He could have round-the-clock assistance and so forth. But he named an institutional trustee, happened to be a bank, and they did a great job. And he then instructed them, and we wrote up the documentation to say that no matter what, he was to stay home. If he had to go visit a doctor, or if there was an emergency, he had to go to the hospital temporarily, that was fine. But they were to bail him out as soon as possible and get him back home. That ended up in a trust mechanism and a discussion of management of his assets, along with a health care power of attorney, of course. And the combination of them made sure that his assets were managed by a trustee, in this case a bank trust department, and his health care decisions were made, and his housing arrangement was that he was to remain at home. So it just depends on what you want. Sometimes people say, no, I want out of here as soon as possible. Whatever that might be in your case is what you want to do, of course. But you want to communicate it and have it in the right documents. So power of attorney, very important document for all of us to have. I can't think of very many people who should not have a power of attorney. If you've turned 18, you want to think about getting a power of attorney in effect. If you are just out of high school, maybe just finishing high school into college, You probably want to have a power of attorney, perhaps naming parents. You have to think about that one, don't you? But perhaps naming parents as your agent or attorney, in fact, on the power of attorney. But somebody to help you if you're ever out of commission, maybe car accident, whatever it might be. You want to make sure that somebody is in there and able to take action without having to go to court. I'm glad we have our courts. We have some great judges there who hang out and try to do a good job. But why go to court if you don't have to? So by using the power of attorney and possibly having the trust arrangement, we can usually avoid the necessity of a guardianship. You know, I want to talk a little bit about a document called the Five Wishes document and also a little bit about the What About Me, and talk just a bit about a couple of new books on the reading list and stuff. But what I'd like to do is maybe slip out for a moment, and we'll get just a little information about referral services as we continue right here on Legal Line. We'll tackle that these other issues as soon as we hear from, we can't really say sponsor, can we? But let's slip out, listen to this, and we'll return in a moment. One of the best legal bargains has to be the bar-sponsored lawyer referral services. For about $35, maybe $45 or so, you can have a half-hour consultation with an attorney who works in your area of concern. So, for example, if you have a real estate issue, you'll meet with a real estate attorney. If you have questions about a contract, you'll meet with an attorney who speaks the right version of legalese. Keep in mind that you have a half hour to discuss your legal problem. This is not a lot of time, but usually enough to determine if you need or want to engage a lawyer further. But you must use your time efficiently. Before you meet with the lawyer, write out a brief statement of the facts and write down your questions for the lawyer. If the questions are written down, you'll probably remember to ask them. When you meet with the lawyer, don't spend time talking about other things. Don't talk about the game last night or the weather. You have a limited amount of time, and you need to talk about your legal problem. In King County, you can call 206-267-7010. In Pierce County, you can call 253-383-3432. If you go to the website for the Washington State Bar Association, you'll find more information in the For the Public section. Look under How to Find Legal Help, and then under Lawyer Referral Services. And, of course, you can always go to bobpittman.com. And we continue with this week's edition of Legal Line. I want to remind you that we have a recommended reading list over at bobpittman.com. If you go to bobpittman.com and then, maybe go to the Legal Line page, let's say. That's my favorite. Go to the Legal Line page. I'm biased, though, aren't I? That's one of my favorite pages. Anyway, if you go to that, you're going to find from the right-hand side recommended reading. And if you pick up on the recommended reading list, you'll find just a whole bunch of books, and we try to keep it. Well, we are. We're keeping it up to date. There, you know, we're working on some, adding some. We just added a couple today in the area of divorce. Nolo's Essential Guide to Divorce kind of gets you started. And then there's one I like, which is called Divorce and Money. Money issues. Boy, I don't know which is the toughest. I mean, the people reasons obviously are the most important. The kids, the husband and wife, a couple. But when you get into the money issues, it seems like money just tears people apart. And somehow, if you can solve the money issues, and there are lots of money issues that surround a divorce or dissolution of a marriage. So it's a good book to kind of get you started thinking about that. You want to think about getting a financial advisor to help you. One place to go to locate the name of a financial advisor might be financialpro.org, financialpro.org. It's the website for the Society of Financial Service professionals. And you find some attorneys and CPAs and CFPs and other financial professionals who can help you through some of the issues that relate to divorce and obviously relate to other things too. But take a peek at the reading list. If you have suggestions, by the way, be sure to bring them up. One of my favorites, of course, Neighbor Law by Cora Jordan and Emily Dosko. Emily was on last week talking about the book. It's a terrific book. If you're thinking about getting into a business, one of my favorites is The Legal Guide for Starting and Running a Small Business. Terrific, terrific book. I can't say enough good things about it in terms of helping you to decide just what you should do, what form of business structure you should take and get into. Just helps you, walks you through a lot of those different issues and makes a lot of good recommendations. Hey, if you're into pets, one of my favorites is All My Children Wear Fur Coats. That's listed at the recommended reading list. Fun reading. If you're a pet lover, this is the book for you. If you even think you might be a pet lover, you ought to take a look at All My Children Wear Fur Coats. You don't have to be doing the Leona Helmsley routine to be interested in putting together proper estate planning for your pets. That's a big issue, I know, with us, and it's something we talk about on a fairly regular basis. So take a look at the reading list, a couple of good books up there, new ones up there. Of course, Ultimate Gift, Jim Stovall was a guest not too long ago, and one of my favorites is, of course, that book, Ultimate Gift, the new one about to come out any day now, A Christmas Snow, is a good book as well. I wanted to say a few things. Someone was asking me the other day about using, or who to use, in their will for personal representative. We used to call that person executor and executrix. Now we say personal representative. In a trust, we say trustee. It's the person or the entity who's going to take care of our affairs, either during life, if it's in a trust and we can't do it, or at death, through our will, personal representative of the will, or trustee of our perhaps our living trust. That person has a big job to do, and most people want to name their a relative, maybe a close friend, and that can work. I'm not here to say that doesn't work, but it is a tough job. There's a lot of stuff to do, depending on your circumstances, depending on the status of your affairs and assets and all this type of stuff. So you want to at least think about using a corporate trustee. I'm very big on people just at least thinking about it and considering the use of a corporate trustee. You can get someone, obviously a friend or a relative, to do it, and you think you're saving money, and then they make all kinds of mistakes, and you're putting them on the spot. This is not just an honor. It is an honor, but it's not just an honor to be named personal representative or trustee. It's a big job, and there's a lot of responsibility that goes with it. So think about using a corporate trustee and putting the job on over to them. It's a lot of accounting work. Accountants, I think, do make good trustees, especially in combination with a corporate trustee. But there are just quite a few corporate trustees that are terrific. There are banks that have trust departments. There are companies that operate just as trust companies. There are some very entrepreneurial kinds of groups out there, even a few attorneys who've changed over, got a new coat on and wearing the coat of a trustee. So lots of options, professional trustees, corporate trustees. Take a look at them and talk to your attorney about using one and say, gee, what are the pros and the cons? And, the big thing is you have, with an independent trustee, you've got someone who is more than likely going to be unemotional, but I would say caring at the same time. Unemotional is good, I think, in terms of getting the job done, but the corporate trustees and the independent trustees I've seen tend to be a very caring group. Otherwise, they just wouldn't go into this business. So there's a lot of caring, but a lot of unemotional caring, if you will. They're worried about the beneficiaries. They try to take care of them, make sure things are done right. But they follow the checklist, if you will. They go through and make sure that things get done, and they're not going to be derailed by somebody yelling and screaming or camping out on the doorstep or whatever else might go on. They're not going to get into the family bickering that sometimes goes on. They're going to do their job, get it done, get everybody out the door, if you will, with their proper share, if it's just a straight distribution. If it's a continuing trust, they will then begin a relationship with the beneficiaries, follow the terms of the trust to the letter, and work with the beneficiaries to make sure that they're okay and that your directives have been carried out. So I just want to say, don't dismiss the idea of a corporate trustee. Sometimes people think it's more expensive. I would argue that oftentimes it's less expensive because they get the job done, they manage the assets, and they do all those things that a trustee needs to do. Keep in mind that a corporate trustee or independent trustee can be a co-trustee with a relative. Maybe even a spouse, maybe even you. You can use a co-trustee, independent co-trustee, to step in and kind of add that professionalism to the process. And you can help, or the individual can help on the real personal items, but the corporate or independent trustee can take care of all the stuff that just has to be done to make things work and comply with the law and not end up being sued by all the beneficiaries when they invest everything in the next WorldCom or the next Enron, which is a risk with an individual, I guess. Although, I don't know. That's you can pick the stock, I guess. And there are bad ones out there all the time. There are lots of good ones. You're going to find that the independent trustee is going to be very, very careful in terms of even investment, and they tend to be kind of boring, which is typically good. So anyway, keep that in mind. I want to mention quickly a little guide called Five Wishes. A lot of you know about it. But you can find it at the agingwithdignity.org website, agingwithdignity.org website. The idea behind Five Wishes is to walk you through all kinds of different types of healthcare decisions that may need to be made and allow you to comment on what you want and what you don't want in a little more detail than a typical living will. So I would encourage you, even if you don't end up buying a copy, I think it's like a dollar, it's a very nominal sum, but even if you don't do that, at least take a look at it, get some ideas about things that you may want to comment on in terms of your own healthcare concerns and things that are important to you. The documents that you put together in terms of estate planning should not be just bare bones legal documents. You got to breathe life into the documents. You got to put yourself into the documents. You've got to really sit down and think through a lot of different issues. Play some what if games, I call them. What if this? What if that? What do I do? And what should I have? And get your estate planning attorney to play the games with you and actually work through the issues that are important to you. The attorney can bring up issues that are important in general and make sure you're not forgetting something that would be really important. But you need to communicate what you're concerned about. Take time. Think through a lot of these issues and come up with what it is that you want. How do you want to be cared for if you are incapacitated? How does the caregiver get to know you? We do a lot of work with the what about me information, and like to incorporate what I call what about me information into the documents to make sure that a caregiver has a fighting chance to come up with a scenarios that are better for you. You know, maybe I like a certain kind of music. Maybe I like a certain kind of a kind of TV shows or books and stuff. It's true, by the way. There are certain ones. I was thinking about this the other day. I was driving along, and you have to be careful when you're driving, of course, but driving along, and certain music is on, and that music just makes my mind just kind of drift off. Now, I was doing this very carefully as I drove, paying attention, but, you know, it gets you deep in thought sometimes, and whereas other music might just drive me up the wall. So make sure you make some notes. If you want to get a copy of the What About Me information, let us know. Send us an email. Stop by bobpittman.com and make a comment. We are always interested in your thoughts. If you have a topic that you'd like addressed on an edition of Legal Line, let us know. It doesn't matter what the topic is, as long as it's somewhat legal related. It's something that, if it's something that interests you, chances are it's something that interests a lot of people. We're going to do a segment not too far off on buying a car, buying a used car, which is can be difficult. Next week, I want to remind you to tune in. Be sure to tune in and listen to the interview with Gary Alexander, Justice Gary Alexander of the Washington State Supreme Court. Really interesting comments. I know he's a great guy, and I can say this because I don't actually appear down there before the court, so I'm not trying to make any points. But he's an interesting fellow. Been on the court now for quite a while, and has been Chief Justice, was the longest-serving Chief Justice of the Washington State Supreme Court. That'll be next week. A few other programs coming up that we'll be announcing at a later date. But be sure to stay tuned and tune in each and every Wednesday at 3 o'clock at bobpittman.com for the live edition of Legal Line. And then, of course, a day later, we become a Bobcast. And, you know, the indefinite future, you're able to pick up the Bobcast of your choice and listen to it at any time. We appreciate your being with us. As always, this is Bob Pittman for Legal Line, the Legal Line Network. We'll be looking for you next week right here at bobpittman.com.